3D printing was from the beginning pitched as a like huge because it's manufacturing, and manufacturing is one of the key pillars of our global industry. That you can print everything from home, like a salad bowl, you know, if I want to have a new one, I just print myself. This really didn't materialize because people don't like to operate printers at home. It's just nicer to buy it on Amazon.
Martin Eichenhofer is the CEO and co-founder of 9T Labs. This is Beyond Tech, a short-form podcast where you learn something new every episode in around 10 minutes. The salad bowl example, I remember it as well. That was the key pitch back in the day, right? You, instead of delivering it, you print it yourself and you skipped the whole supply chain. Mm-hmm. Why didn't it work?
I think it came from the idea of democratizing manufacturing. So, you know, everyone can do it. Everyone has the same chances to build something. I think the biggest limitation is that the convenience aspect. I think it's now so easy to get stuff online. You have so many different options and varieties. I think it's, you know, you will always find something that fits you and you can have it the next day. You know, this is also maybe one of the big things. Maybe it's before our time, but like 20, 30 years ago, when you wanted to have something, maybe it took a week to actually get it. But now with like Prime and stuff like this, you will have it the other day, right? You could even have it in a couple of hours. And I think that's a combination of convenience and this accessibility of products today that really make this building stuff at home not really attractive anymore. Just for... I don't want to call it nerds, but like kind of hobbyists, like they really enjoy this. But this is like a small fraction of the population.
It's probably not cost efficient as well to produce it myself, I'd rather.
No, I think if I don't have one on hand, but if you look at a pitch deck from any of those companies, maybe 15, 20 years ago, already in 3D printing and talking about mass customization, I think all the different value proposition points didn't really materialize. And cost is most certainly one of them because, yeah, for sure, you're not cost competitive if you do it at home.
So you came from that, printing it at home, to more moving to printing very specific prototypes and parts at wherever you need it.
Yeah, I think once the companies realized, okay, this like B2C kind of approach, printing at home is not taking off, they refocused. It was always already a little bit focused on universities and R&D departments where it's quite valuable to have a printer for prototyping, functional parts to just test out, and you have a significantly reduced product development cycle. And there, I think the printers as of today, they are really delivering high value there, and it's really rapidly used and heavily used in this sector.
If we look into materials, what is possible there? So, I mean, where does it end? Where are we right now?
I think it's not ending right now because they are really like 3D printing is now... they're really addressing all the different materials. And it kind of comes from the universities and the research institutes because, you know, it started in polymers and then ceramics started to also evolve, metals started to evolve. And now we see actually combinations of metals and plastics, and we see actually bioprinting, stuff like this is really, really gaining a lot of momentum. And it will not stop. I think there will gradually, all the materials which we know as of today, they will gradually come into this 3D printing world. And it makes total sense because at the end, for me, it's just automation. It doesn't sound too fancy if you pitch it this way, but 3D printing is automation. So why can we not manufacture all the different materials in an automated way? So that's why I think all the different materials which we see as of today will be onboarded in the 3D printing world if they are not already in there.
9T Labs. Mm-hmm. What are you guys doing?
So maybe people already, we kind of took it away that we're in 3D printing, but so what we are doing is actually we're in fiber composite manufacturing. So this is kind of this new lightweight material we see, for instance, in new airplanes. It's kind of light as plastic, but strong as metal. Not easy to manufacture. The material is not new. It's kind of time-consuming, expensive to produce. And now 3D printing is really bringing this automation aspect to drive down costs. But that's not where we stop. This is also not like, you know, how you can really accelerate the adoption of this performance material, this fiber composite materials, what we need to do is to really establish an end-to-end solution, which is similar to what people in metal manufacturing know as CNC manufacturing. CNC manufacturing, like maybe people have seen it, even non-technical people, I think metals are really, I mean, we have sophisticated tools on how to manufacture metal parts. For composite parts, the material is great, but a lot of times the choice about either we are doing it in metal or in fiber composites, it's not a fair choice. It's not so much about the material, it's more about the processing routes and technology we have. And there it's not fair because composite is really just lacking all kinds of automation and software. And the metal manufacturing is quite sophisticated. And that's what we are changing. Basically, we are building the CNC manufacturing for composite. And it has a lot of relevance for a lot of different industries. And it's not just aerospace because it's kind of like prominent and we hear it a lot. But it's also super interesting for medical applications, leisure applications, people that have a bicycle, for instance. You see a lot of fiber composite carbon applications.
So to understand it right, I'm not an expert in this field, but mm-hmm. a fiber composite is then a carbon. How does it look like?
Interesting. Like usually I talk again about the aerospace and I talk about new airplanes. Mm-hmm. They are actually heavily utilizing this material and it's actually a plastic airplane. So you're flying in a plastic airplane that has carbon fiber reinforcements. So it's literally just a plastic where you put continuous fiber strands. It's like kind of like a continuous a thread which you put into a plastic and it makes the plastic, you know, more durable, more strong. But technically it's still a plastic part.
How do you do that if you take, I don't know, what part would you choose and like how is it done?
You start off in the software where you basically define your boundary conditions, your load conditions, just the requirements of the part if you want. And then you have simulation tools and you have engineering tools to build a really decent structure, right? The ideal part geometry. And there you have to select how to place the fibers. And what's really unique about our process, it's not so easy to explain without any visual. But at the end, you need to place fibers not just in one layer. You have to place fibers like kind of in free in space. And, you know, to really go along the stress lines. But usually it's not in plane. It's like in all different directions. And our software allows to split the main part, the global part, we call it, into subparts, where we can locally optimize the fiber layup. And then in the process itself, we print those subparts and we combine them in a second step, which is our fusion step. It's a little bit different to, this is actually where the industrial and series production aspect comes in. In the second step, we combine subparts into one main part. And this main part has then really complex fiber orientation. And this is really one of the key enablers for complex parts. As the metal parts I mentioned.
If you think about the space, so we talked about this niche market and home building, some certain parts. Mm-hmm. What else is there, or what trends do you see in the market of 3D printing or additive manufacturing at the moment?
Mm-hmm. The big trends now, I think it's you will hear a lot about end use parts. So we are producing end use parts. Technically, this could mean a lot of things. Basically, it just says that you can actually print a part that's used for something meaningful. People usually think about series production, usually think about airplanes and medical devices and stuff like this. But the truth is actually that those parts are mainly used for prototyping to illustrate something. Or a lot also for jigs and fixtures. It's actually a big market that you have, yeah, jigs and fixtures, it's an end-use part, right? It has a function, but it's not like mass. It's not production in that sense. Yeah. And now I think we are close, but we didn't make now the big leap towards actual serious production, which is all, by definition also end use, but it also gives you volume and really addresses a bigger portion of the market.
I think the most amazing thing I've seen was like printing a Star Wars figure. And then I think as a normal human being, that is the use case you've seen. And that is where we kind of stuck.
You know, this kind of like magic that you can print out of nothing, you can build a physical object. And they were just like kind of like, yeah, stuck in that bubble. But it's not the full market potential of 3D printing.
Thank you for listening to Beyond Tech, a podcast from Digital Switzerland. My name is Matthias, and if you find these episodes interesting, if you learned something new today, let us know. We'd also like to hear what topics you're curious about and what episodes we should cover in the future. This podcast was produced by Tinka Media. Music came from Blue Dot Session. If you like this podcast, please rate it and share it with your friends. Looking forward to catching up with you in a week.